grew up disconnected from my culture. I was a military brat. And when I moved to Cherokee, North Carolina, I went to Western Carolina University, met all these wonderful people in this part of North Carolina that kind of molded me, rewired my brain about how I felt about physical activity and children and physical education. And started connecting to the Cherokee culture. When I moved home, started reconnecting with my culture, the Muscogee Creek Nation, Seminole Nation. And one of the first things that I reconnected with was a game of stickball through my work. And I remember growing up watching the stickball players play at different festivals, reading about them, my grandfather sitting telling me stories for hours about stickball games long ago. And I thought that's what I wanted to be. Didn't really want to care about basketball, baseball, I played all of them, but I wanted to be that stickball player, and then I had the chance to make them. It is something that, it's difficult work. It takes weeks to make some of these sticks. If I just sit down and from beginning to end, maybe 5 hours, but you start off by cutting a tree, that's the toughest part. The guy that taught me said, "You're not tough enough," and I aggravated him for 3 months, and he finally said, "Okay, meet me in Okemah, where I live, Saturday, and we're gonna go cut down some trees, and I'm gonna show you what's involved with making these." And we cut down several hickory trees, they 8-foot sections, they weighed probably 400 pounds a piece, and we had to flip them end over end, back up a hill, about, 800 yards to the truck. After the first one, I was shaking so bad, I could barely climb back down the hill to get the next one. But after getting 6 of those out of the woods that day, I understood what he was talking about. So many people just think these sticks just appear, and I had a lot more appreciation for it. I was not allowed to sell any sticks. He wouldn't let me, my teacher, for a long time. He said, "It's all about giving back. In our culture, it's not about how much you have, it's how much you can give people."
This is the Phys Ed Cast. In 2015, at the Pea Institute in Asheville, North Carolina, I had the pleasure of meeting a guy by the name of Scott Robison. Scott is a proud Muscoka Creek man and has been working in the field of diabetes and obesity prevention for 20 years, creating programs addressing children, adults, elders, and families within the Native American communities. His passion is school wellness and quality physical education, believing the school environment can have a significant impact on a child and their future attitudes towards exercise and living a healthy lifestyle. Many of the programs he has participated in or led have received national recognition as model programs, and he continues to produce positive outcomes in the lives of Native American youth, adults, and elders. As we discuss in this episode, one of Scott's hobbies is making Creek or Seminole stickball sticks. He teaches the youth this art and the hard work involved in creating a pair of ball sticks. I was lucky enough to receive a replica set of these ball sticks as a gift from Scott at the 2015 Pea Institute in Asheville, North Carolina. They sit proudly on my desk at school and are a constant point of conversation for visitors to our office. In this episode, Scott and I will discuss quality physical education with a focus on its connection to the many traditional ways of knowing and being, as well as the ways it can support both Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities. I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Scott Robison. Today on the Phys Ed Cast, I have a very special guest, somebody that I met a few years back at the National PE and Sport Institute down in Asheville, North Carolina. He has a pretty amazing and unique story, and I'm really happy to have him on the show today. So welcome, Scott. For those of you or for people that haven't met you, can you give us a little bit of background about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Scott Robison. I work for Indian Health Service, and I am a Muscogee Creek Indian and Seminole Indian from Oklahoma. And I have a physical education background, which I'm very proud of. I went to Western Carolina University in North Carolina. And I feel like that university was really changed my life. At the time, I just wanted to be a coach. Sports is all I thought about. and my student teaching experience, my physical education teacher that taught me just led me to a love of physical activity with children and doing it in a way where all kids feel successful. And from there, I did take a little break from physical education, went to work for a Native American boarding school in Oklahoma, working with children there. And they actually lived at the school. And a lot of them came from inner city, and they wanted them out of, their parents wanted them out of those type of areas. And that really prepared me to work with any type of child. It's a really challenging job, but really expanded my toolbox of skills and knowledge of children, working with children. And then I did start teaching physical education at the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Indian Reservation in 1997. And I taught physical education for 5 years there and started jump rope programs there. And I really learned from a lot of the PE community in North Carolina. Artemia, as you're very familiar with, is part of that community. A lot of these, Larry McDonald and the guy that did my student teaching for me, Dennis Prophet, these were all like just legends in physical education. And I just kind of got under these guys and learned from them and listened to them and try to model my physical education program after things they were doing and best practices. And I just so much enjoyed those 5 years of teaching physical education. And not too long after that ended, I went back to Oklahoma, back home, and started working in the field of diabetes prevention with my tribe, Muscogee Creek Nation, with our diabetes management and prevention program. And I did that for several years, came into that with the idea from my boss, because she wanted more of a, of course, prevention program. We had no prevention things going on in the community yet, a public health background. I told her all the things I was doing in the schools, reaching families and children through the physical education program. And so that's what she hired me for, was to go into the schools and reach families and children through the schools, because most of our kids are in the public schools. And we started doing all kinds of different activities through the schools, trying to increase physical activity in children and reduce childhood obesity, reduce diabetes in our tribal population for the Muscogee Creek Nation area. But most of it was prevention with children. But I do work with elders, adults, people with diabetes, and trying to help them manage their diabetes and also prevent complications. And I came to Wewoka back in 2008 and brought all the programs from Creek Nation we were doing with elders, with kids, with schools, community walking programs, our indigenous games that we play here, our stickball game, and started those programs here for the Wewoka Indian Health Center. And that's what I'm currently doing today as their community health director.
Yeah, nice. And like I said, I think it's a pretty varied background, but I think, you know, running through it all is that theme of, you know, wanting to help the young people around you. And one thing I couldn't help but notice when you were speaking then is, you know, most of the work that you've done, as you said, has been with Indigenous or Native American communities. Was that a really conscious choice on your part, like wanting to give back to that, yes, that community, or it just sort of, it happened that way?
Yes, it was. After I left Western Carolina University to come home, I wanted to go home and serve my tribe. And I was blessed to get a job with the Muscogee Creek Nation Boarding School. And from there, I came back to North Carolina out of necessity because I had a daughter that's Eastern Cherokee living there. And so I moved back there and was just blessed to get the PE teacher actually was a friend of mine. He left to go somewhere else and recommended me for the job. I just moved back there, was working in a youth treatment center as a counselor assistant until a PE job came open, and came open 6 months after I was back in North Carolina and did that. So every job that I've had, and I've been blessed to have, there's not been one day I've gone to work in 20 years that I've did not want to go. I love what I do. I love my job because I get to serve, you know, my people. But the programs I do now and at Creek Nation, they're set up where they serve all children, because all of our schools are public schools. So there's every race and ethnic group represented in the schools we work with. And when we do a program in the school, it's not just for the Native American kids. It's really to change the whole health environment of the whole school, so every kid is affected. But we do target schools that have high percentage of Native American children. Now, a lot of the adult programs are Native American specific. You know, they have to have a chart at our clinic, have to be part of a federally recognized tribe. But at our school programs, we serve the greater good, as you'd say, with all the children, all the families, and we don't only hold the option open for just Native American kids.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's similar, I think, to, like, I'm in Canada, as we spoke about before we started recording, and there's like a real, I guess not so much a push, but there's an encouragement to use those First Nations ways of thinking and knowing up here as a way to engage the wider community in dialogue around that sort of the background here. And I think from what you're saying, it sounds pretty similar there is, you know, the more that people who don't identify as being Native American or aren't part of the tribe can know about the tribe and the ways of knowing, the ways of being of Native American or First Nations people, I think the better, I guess everybody in the community gets to feel connected. I think what you're talking about not only benefits the Native American or the First Nation people that you're working with, it benefits the whole community. And I think that's a really, really important piece. My question for you is, I guess, like, what was your experience as a young person growing up with physical education? What was physical education like for you?
Well, I did have some, I was blessed to have some really good PE teachers. I was a military kid, so I traveled quite a bit. And I can remember a couple of the schools that I was in. One was in Enid, Oklahoma. I ended up having a PE teacher there he just really inspired me to become more involved and with physical activity and with athletics and sports. I was really shy, backwards kid. And the only time I really came alive is he put a ball in my hand and then my competitive side came out, and he really fostered that and pushed that, encouraged me and gave me a lot of confidence. And I was glad that I was exposed to a PE teacher like this that made me feel successful. And that really made me become an adult that wanted to continue to move because I had felt success with it as a young person. And it was because of a few of the PE teachers that I had that were really quality physical education teachers. So I was blessed to have that experience. I did have a couple of experiences with some poor leaders with physical activity, but I really remember mainly the positive experiences that I had.
Well, that's great. And I think, you know, you've talked about those positive experiences, and then you talked about going to university and then having those leaders like Artie Kamea and Larry McDonald, like you talked about. Like, I think that really has seemed to set you up for success. You had that good background as a young person and then some really amazing mentors.
Yeah, Dennis Prophet, they're really good friends. Actually, Larry McDonald was the principal for Dennis Prophet and was a mentor to Dennis Prophet there at Fairview Elementary in Silva, North Carolina. And I walked into Coach Prophet's gym my very first day and watched him with the children. They were all moving, smiling, enjoying physical activity. And I remember just thinking, this is what I want to do. This is awesome. I've never seen PE quite like this. And he talked to me afterwards. He said, you know, if you want to, you know, learn to be a teacher, to lead children who love physical activity, and you're in the right place. If you just want to be a coach and, you know, that's all you want to do, he said, you might want to go somewhere else. And I'm so glad I stayed, and it changed my life forever. It still guides me this day. Everything Coach Prophet taught me still guides me to this day in what I do, but also as I mentor other young professionals and the workers that I have. I have health educators that I supervise and health promotion, disease prevention people. And I mentor them the same way Coach Prophet did me, where we want to make physical activity a positive experience for every child, regardless of their size, their shape, their ability, their gender. You know, we want to make it a positive experience for them.
I guess moving into that health side of things that you're working with people now, what you mentioned some
Jump Rope probably is our flagship, if you'd say, program, because we work in six different schools with over 250 kids weekly. And it's really grown because now we're doing competitions. We actually took the very first Native American jump rope team last year to the World Championships down in Orlando, Florida. The Bouncing Bulldogs from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, their coach, they're the number one jump rope team in the world. Their coach, Ray Frederick Jr., is the jump rope coach for them, and he actually went to Western Carolina. He learned under Coach Prophet also, and that was our connection. We got to know each other when I was living there and working in PE, and we reconnected, and he has really helped us grow our jump rope program. He brings out a team of his high school elite jumpers every year, and we do a big jump rope camp. We have about 140 to 150 kids from all of our school jump rope programs that come and learn higher level skills that we can't teach them. And it's really helped grow our program, and they've helped us set up competitions. So we are doing that now. And what I love about jump rope, it attracts a lot of the kids who otherwise wouldn't play any sports. And so many of the kids over the years that have really thrived with our jump rope program have been the kids that, you know, don't play competitive sports, and they just sometimes, for some reason, it really connects with a lot of those type kids. I had a daughter that was one of my best jumpers I ever had, and she never played any team sports. My other daughter that played team sports, she was good at jump rope too, but the one that didn't play team sports, she was probably the best jumper I've ever had. She was really talented. And so this program gets some of our best outcomes too. About 40% of our kids every year improve their BMI percentile. Everything we do, we have to measure to show that we made some type of impact. You know, around 90% of the kids improve on the skills test that we give them each year at the beginning of the jump rope and at the end. So it's one of the programs that we put a lot of time and effort and work into. But we also do community walking programs for the adults and kids. Mainly we try to target families for that, families moving together. It's pedometer-based. They wear pedometers, accelerometers, measure their steps, their time, their distance. Runners, walkers, bikers, we use different ways to measure. They get points. We have monthly education days on exercise where they come and learn different things. And we have 5K runs. And our elder program is another one of our programs, trying to target our elders because they get so much benefit from exercise, especially a lot of our elders have type 2 diabetes, and so we're trying to help slow down the complications, trying to help them prevent these complications from happening so soon in their lives. And it's really, too, a lot about fellowship with them. You know, they at this age in their life, that fellowship with one another is so important. And we get together and have our elder program days. It's there's a lot of fellowship, a lot of laughing, but we do exercise with them. We play a lot of PE games with them. They love it. They say we get so tired of chair exercises and all this stuff that we think only elders like to do, but they love to play a lot of the games we play with the kids, but we just modify it for them. And that's one of their favorite days when we come and we tell them we're playing PE games today, and they really enjoy that.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. I think that's something that, you know, often as physical educators, we get really caught up with the kids that are in front of us in the gym or on the field, or you know, the kids that we see every day, but, you know, really connecting with the parents and community members and the elderly members of the community and the younger, even the younger members of the community. I think that as physical educators, maybe we should be looking outside of just the four walls of our gym and thinking, you know, how can we connect with the people throughout the community? Because at the end of the day, the kids that we see are going to leave us. We get to see them for such a short amount of time every day or every week. You know, we can only do so much with them, but if we can encourage the community members that they're going to be around on a longer term basis to want to be active and want to be with active with those kids, then I think that's a much more long-term sustainable solution. So it sounds like some of the programs that you have in place are really doing that, which is great. I guess one of the questions that I had would be, like, working with Native American children or communities, do you notice any, like, differences in terms of, like, strengths of those communities around physical activity or areas of weakness in terms of physical activity or access or anything like that?
Well, a lot of the access is difficult because where we're at, especially, it's so rural. We live in a lot of food deserts in this area. There's some of our communities don't have a grocery store. A lot of the communities we work in, the school is really geared around just team sports. And so if you don't play basketball, then you know, a lot of times just go to the library during PE time. And so that's some things we're trying to change. We have a program called the Move It Program, which is our school-based diabetes prevention program, where we go in and try to help schools change how they're doing physical education. And we go in, and especially if it's a school that just does team sports year-round, which a lot of our schools do. And they're very proud of how good they are at basketball and softball. But we try to help them understand that very few kids are going to play those sports when they get up into middle school, high school, and especially after they graduate high school. We've got to be teaching them things they can do the rest of their life and get them hooked on physical activity as a youngster, making them feel like it's for them. And so a lot of our native communities are these small rural communities where we're at, and it's just very secluded, just not a lot of access to, you know, the kids would have into the larger communities, like soccer leagues and different types of sports other than just basketball and softball. So when we go into a school, we try to expose them to all kinds of different ways to move. But one of our strengths is our whole society was built around dances, around dancing, around games, competition for hundreds of years. And we brought them, our tribes all came from Southeastern United States, and we brought all that stuff with us. We've been doing it, you know, from the beginning of time. And, you know, our people were some of the healthiest people on the face of the planet 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Now we're one of the most unhealthy groups as far as diabetes and heart disease and obesity in general. But we have not lost our connection to our culture. And that is so important. There's been so many studies done that the connection to our culture is so important for our health too. There's been studies done on groups that were doing physical activity, nutrition, and all this stuff. And then another group was just doing nothing but reconnecting to their culture. And the group reconnecting to their culture had better outcomes as far as blood pressure and cholesterol and blood sugars than the group that was doing diet and exercise. And that just proves us that, especially groups that have a culture like we do, we get disconnected from our culture. We really don't know who we are. It's so detrimental to our health. And so that's why we really push our stickball game. And this is Native American month in November coming up, you know, in the United States. And we go out to all of our schools and introduce our kids, because a lot of our Indian kids have never played stickball. And a lot of our non-natives have never seen it. And we want our kids to feel proud about our game, and but also to introduce or reintroduce the game to our Native American young kids, to get them excited about this game, this culture that is still alive. It hasn't been taken from us. One of the only things that hasn't been taken from us, and it's still thriving here in this part of Oklahoma where I work. And we just want our kids to practice their culture and be a part of it, because it's so important for their health.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a couple of things actually that I was going to ask you about stickball in a minute, but I want to circle back to something you said a little bit earlier about, you know, that history of health and strength and culture. And, you know, I think if you look at a lot of the work that's being done right now around physical literacy, and I guess looking at not only the physical domain of physical literacy, but that social, emotional, and cognitive and spiritual aspects of a holistic approach to developing physical literacy. And you look towards that idea of, you know, the medicine wheel and what that represents. And there are so many similarities. So you look at that history of that holistic approach to health and being connected to community and connected to your environment and what's around you. And that's what we're trying to encourage in all of our communities right now in terms of developing physical literacy. So it just makes perfect sense to use that historical knowledge and to use that culture and to really, I guess, learn from that history as a modern society and really celebrate that. And I guess one way that you say you're doing that is through stickball. I was so lucky to be introduced to it by you at the PE Institute, and I had a lot of fun using the sticks and the little trophy that you presented to all of the keynote speakers. It's still like one of my most prized possessions sitting in my room right now. And I look at it often and just makes me really, really happy and reminds me of some really fantastic times down there in North Carolina. So can you explain a little bit about stickball? And like, I know you make sticks but for those people that aren't aware of what stickball is, like what is stickball?
Well, it's a game that we brought from the Southeast United States with us. We've been playing it for since the beginning of time. And it's a game that's our game. I know I've had some companies that I've worked with in the past that's wanted to make plastic sticks. And it looks like a lacrosse stick. And a lacrosse, you can buy sets of plastic lacrosse sticks to play with. But this game is so much a part of our culture. It's what we consider a medicine game. It's a very spiritual game, especially the man-to-man game. My grandfather would tell me stories of growing up playing this game, and he always said it wasn't always the highly skilled team that won. It was the team that had the best medicine man. And that's kind of hard to explain, but it's a spiritual thing. And they contributed a lot of success was the team that was spiritually prepared the best to play the game when they would have competitions between tribal towns and stomp grounds. But this game it's wooden sticks made out of hickory or bodark. In our area is traditional wood. Some people use pecan. But we make these sticks, and the men play a game man-to-man. Used to call it Little Brother of War. It's a game that was used for a long time to settle disputes between maybe tribal towns or tribes so they wouldn't go to war. And it's a very violent game. It was hand-to-hand, no rules hardly. And it was like lacrosse, but played on a large area, a field similar to the size of a football field with goals at each end, small ball. And each player, each man with Creeks and Seminoles has two sticks. You cannot use your hands. You pick up the ball with your sticks. You throw the ball with your sticks. But it's pretty much full contact. You know, you're out there sometimes just in no shirt, no shoes, no socks, just in a pair of shorts, and it's full contact. Now, we have a game we play with the girls and boys. It's our social game with a pole with a target on top. It's usually a cow skull, maybe a horse head skull, a wooden fish. And the girls use their hands to throw the ball. The boys use the sticks. And this is the game that we introduce our kids to. The social game. The other one, we don't play it really that in public. It's not something we play it out of our ceremonial grounds, the man-to-man game. Like I said, it's more of our spiritual type game. And the social game, we play it at all of our schools. And it was a game to get the girls and boys mixing together. But it's a very active game. I've played it with heart rate monitor strapped on before with people. And one guy from a heart rate monitor company was playing it with us, and he is very fit athlete, and his heart rate was hitting 180, 190 playing. He couldn't believe that his heart would get this type of response from a game like this. And so it's a very good game as far as physical education. All the kids are moving, everybody's playing. But what I love about it the most, it helps those kids reconnect with their culture. And that's what it did for me when I started making the sticks. I was taught by a man named Victor Wildcat, and he showed me everything he knew about making the sticks. And it's very hard work, very time consuming, very taxing on the body. But I fell in love with it. And I guess why I did more than anything, it just reconnected me with my culture. I was kind of separated from my culture for many years of my life, and it helped me reconnect with my culture. And I make the sticks for a lot of our guys that play the game now. And I give them away to a lot of people as gifts, because it's a symbol of health and wellness in our society. You know, that stickball symbol is on a lot of the things that we produce, a lot of the artwork that's produced, and programs that have logos have stickball sticks or players in there, because it's just a symbol of being a warrior, being healthy. And I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of that part of our culture.
Yeah, I know when I was with you down at the PE Institute there, and you showed me the sticks, and I had a chance to use them, and we talked about the game, and I think you showed me even some video. And like, I know if you go onto YouTube, I know you can search Stickball or Little Brother of War, and it'll come up with some videos on there. So if people are interested in finding out more about that's something you can go and take a look at, some examples of the game being played. But I really love what you've said today in the episode so far about just connecting to community, and whether it's a Native American perspective or whether you're just, you know, Asian, American, African, wherever you are from around the world. I think connecting to your community and feeling a part of your community and feeling like you are involved within that culture is a really, really important piece. And I feel like if you feel connected to your community, then you're more likely to want to get out and do stuff within your community and be active within your community. And then that's going to improve health outcomes. And I think there's a lot that everyone can learn from Indigenous cultures all around the world, because whether it's Australian Aboriginal, First Nations, Native Americans, any sort of Indigenous culture, there's such a connection there to community and to family and to environment and place. And I think it's a really important message, and something that's maybe missing within society right now is we sort of get stuck in our own little silos and our own importance. But connecting to community, I think, is something that if we can make a priority, I think it's going to help improve health outcomes and physical activity outcomes for everyone around the world, no matter where they are or who they identify as.
Yeah, that was just a big part of my, as far as my experience with reconnecting back to my culture, my health. I think that really helped me as a part of Muscogee Creek Nation, just to find my place in our nation. And I take great pride in, and part of what I do is to pass this knowledge on to other young men, how to make the sticks, because one day this art is going to die. It's going to be gone, and we don't have a whole lot of ball stick makers left, because it's such hard work. And it's very, each pair of stick takes about 5 to 6 hours to make, from cutting the tree down in the woods to finishing it at the end. And but I love teaching classes, showing young men how to make the sticks. Only men in our tribe make the sticks. Only men use the sticks. But we do have our social game. The girls play too, but they don't use the sticks. And so I know some people frown on that, but that's just our culture, our way of doing things. But when we play the social game, it's such a good game for girls and boys to play together, because it teaches the boys respect for the women, and it lets them kind of mix and mingle together to get to know each other better.
A lot of the work you're doing is really, really meaningful and impactful, and you're having some really good results and stuff. But if there was one thing that you think needed to change, or there needed to be more support for, or there's one thing around physical activity or health that you'd like to change, what would it be?
Well, something, I don't know if it's really changing, but I think it's moving into other fields. Something that my department, our community health department, is fixing to take on these next couple of years is doing some work in suicide prevention. You know, of our native communities, suicide rates are very high, extremely high in some of the reservations around the country. But here in our area, we don't have reservations here in Oklahoma, but we have a lot of Native American families and communities, and suicide is a problem. And that's something that we are going to be going into the schools and working with our local behavioral health professionals and doing a lot of what we call, there's one program we're doing called mental health first aid, and working with adults and children too. But a lot of it's with adults, helping them become more aware of what they can do. There's somebody in their family that is having suicidal thoughts or contemplating this type of thing. And also opioid prevention is something we're moving into also, going to schools and doing a lot of education on, prevention of opioid abuse, since it is such a problem in our community here, and I know it is around the country, and it's a priority with Indian Health Service. Now, as far as physical activity, we're continuing our program. We just met with people from our national headquarters the other day. They came out to do a site visit, and they're wanting to use our program as a model program for health education for Indian Health Service, especially the physical activity things that we're doing with the different age groups, whether it be children, families, elders, So we haven't really planned on adding anything else as far as physical activity than we're already doing, but they have put this on us. They want us to move into these other two fields of suicide prevention and opioid prevention. And people being healthy, being physical activity, being physically active, play a big role in preventing both of those type things.
For sure, for sure. Sounds like some exciting stuff coming up. Okay, so before we finish up, some of the questions that I like to ask before I finish with my guests is just sort of quick question and answer. What's one thing that people don't know about Scott? Something they'd be surprised to learn?
Well, in my other life outside of the WeWoke Indian Health Center, I lead a substance abuse. Really, it's just a recovery program at my local church. It's called Celebrate Recovery, and it's a big part of my life. And I'm a recovering alcoholic drug addict, 21 years sober, and I take great joy in helping other people struggling with these areas of their life and leading them to freedom also. So that's something a lot of people here, my office, know all about it because they hear me talk about it a lot, and they know I've been very active in this. But that's something a lot of people outside of my immediate area here don't know that I do. And I spend a lot of time with that outside of work.
That's amazing. I'm so happy to hear. Like, everything you've spoken today about is about giving back, which I think is really, really commendable and an amazing thing. And I think, you know, a lot of the people that you work with, I'm sure, are very, very grateful for the work that you do, giving back to your communities. One thing I also like to talk to my guests about, because often the type of people I talk to are successful in their field or successful in their area of expertise. And I think one common thread that comes through those type of people is that at some point they've experienced failure, because I think to experience success and to be successful, you have to experience failure. And that's something that I try to talk to my kids about a lot, is that idea that, you know, you're not going to be successful the first time you try something. You have to fail a few times and learn from that failure, and then you'll find success and even greater success. So is there a time when you've experienced failure, and what did you learn from that failure?
Well, like I said, with my substance abuse problems, you know, that was years ago. And actually, I was going through those when I was doing my student teaching with Coach Prophet. And that was one of the things that time in my life, I felt like a complete failure. And that experience working with children and leading them to success with physical activity was a big part of my recovery. I seen Coach Prophet is doing every day, and I seen the kids and what I was blessed to be able to do through his program. And I started seeing myself as somebody that can make a difference in people's lives instead of somebody being a hindrance and somebody that's, you know, that a lot of the other people in my life looked at as a failure at the time. Although I was getting through college, I still had so many problems because of my substance abuse. So, I feel like that was a, you know, my experience there at Fairview Elementary School was a big part of turning me back towards building a successful type of life. And, you know, that's why I give back. So everything I've done in my life that's been successful is because people have poured into me. I've been giving so much. How can I just don't see how I can not give back. And, but since I have 21 years ago, I gave up alcohol and drugs. I have had several failures as a parent, as a professional, but I always look at is, you know, when you have one of those failures, the next day is another day to start over. And I tell that to people all the time. And that you don't have to stay in your failure. You start over the next day and keep moving forward.
Some wise words there, my friend. So I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me. We've had some technical issues with this call, but we've soldiered on and we've got through it. But I want to really thank you for your honesty and for sharing your story with me and with the listeners of this podcast. I think it's an important story, and I feel like we could talk for a couple more hours and still really have some meaningful stories and conversations to share. But I want to thank you for sharing your story with us today. For anybody that wants to get in touch with you and find out more about the work that you're doing, or just reach out and introduce themselves, what would be the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Well, I have an email that I use for my ball stick making. I do I've done workshops for years as far as physical activity with kids. It's called Scott. The email address is scott@nativeplay.com. So you can send me an email there, and love to talk to you about anything, about what we've talked about today, about ball stick making, about my culture, about the recovery ministry I'm a part of, anything. I'd love to connect with anybody that would like to.
Yeah, and I can't recommend it highly enough to reach out to Scott if you do have any questions, or you just want to like have a chat with someone who I consider to be a really, really good human being. I think something that we've hopefully has come out through this episode is connection to community, and I guess having open and honest communication channels, and just respecting the place that you're in and the community and the culture, no matter where you're from or who you identify as. I think that's a really important part of developing strong, healthy communities and communities that value physical activity. So thanks again, Scott. I'm looking forward to getting this episode out, and I hope people get some value out of it, and I hope people reach out and contact you, because I think you're someone who's doing some really amazing work in the physical activity, physical education, and health space, and I think there's a lot that people can learn from you. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Nathan. I appreciate all that you're doing for our profession also. Thank you very much.
What a pleasure it was to be able to catch up with Scott and hear a little bit more about the work that he's been doing in his role with the Indian Health Service, and all the stuff he's doing around stickball and sharing his culture and reconnecting with his culture. Scott is just an absolutely stand-up guy, and I really hope to connect with him again in person at the PE Institute coming up this July in Asheville, North Carolina. I know it's going to be an exciting event. I'm looking forward to keynoting that event again, and I really hope that I get to see Scott and a heap of other people down there in July. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Phys Ed Cast. I look forward to sharing more episodes with you across 2020 as we dive deeper into the world of physical education, coaching, and sport.